I won't even tell you what time it is this morning because there's no way you're going to believe me. But I like to have the podcast done by 6 o'clock in the morning. Which means I've only got 20 minutes left to do the whole thing and edit it. Ha! But I just took a Mountain Dew, so I'm ready. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Whatever it is that you've decided to make Doug Franz Unplugged a part of your day, my family greatly appreciates it. My name is Doug Franz, and you have found the only podcast in the world completely devoted to the four professional teams, two Division I college basketball teams, and one college football team of one city in America. Almost got it all the way through. Phoenix, Arizona. All right, so I just got to go a little quicker. I think I can fit all that in now. I think I'm starting to narrow down what I need to do to be able to pull that off. Good morning. Hopefully your Monday will be a dominant day for all members of the Unplugged Army. I appreciate you waking up with me or taking me home from work, whenever it is, like I said, that you've decided to make Doug Franz Unplugged a part of your day. And if you're a newly enlisted member into the Unplugged Army, welcome. Good to have you. Been doing this for a while now, if you didn't know where I went after the old show. And hopefully I'm going to be able to stick around for a little while. Admittedly, a little nervous about that. Want to say thanks to General Lance, General Tracy, and General Mike for coming out to the event that we had on Friday, as those three generals were there. And I'm assuming, Michael, I'm assuming you have reached general status since you came all the way out to the east side when we had one at Rosati's. So I was able to, I had six people that came to the event that weren't either related to me or related to Sean. So I was able to, The last event, we got to 10, and this event, we got to 6. So, obviously, all I can do is just try to work harder. And, you know, and no matter how many times I've told you, this is really important for you to attend if I can keep this going. And I just haven't done a good enough job convincing you. So, I've got more work to do on that. But, oh my gosh, what a great time we had. I mean, we had a fantastic time. Stavo, you added a ton to everything. Thanks for coming and hanging out with me, especially after I had so much to drink. I went to town. My 17-year-old was with me Friday night. I was like, all right, great. I got a driver. Here we go. And they have what's called Wigwam Ale on tap, which is actually 8th Street Ale from Four Peaks. I don't have any idea how many of those I had. I had one kill lifter because Paul at the bar bought me one, but he didn't stay. I don't know what happened. Paul was out the door when James, the bartender, said, "Hey, Paul bought you this beer, Doug," and said, "Happy Father's Day," or something like that. And I turned around, Paul's leaving. So we didn't get to spend time with Paul. I had a fun weekend though. We celebrated Father's Day on Saturday because really Sunday's a hardcore work day for me. Clearly, it's 5:42 in the morning and I'm just now talking. So I wasn't going to tell you what time it was. So I didn't get enough done on Sunday that I had to stretch out so much of my work into today to get it done. But had a huge barbecue lunch on Saturday. And then they took me to see Tom Cruise's Maverick. I somewhat liked the first movie. Granted, I was young, but I thought the first one was too mushy. I'm not a mushy guy. And I thought it was a chick flick, you know, hidden behind Fast Planes. So I liked the first one, but I didn't love it. I really liked the second one. The second one was, it's still, you know, there's still chick flick elements and romance to it, but it wasn't as cheese ball. So I did like that. I mean, it put me way behind for the weekend because the weekend of a major, you know, I'm smoked. I'm really busy, but it was fun. It was fun to spend that time with my kids too, because it's not very often all four of the family is together. So that was my weekend. For those of you that are fathers, happy Father's Day to you. Hopefully everything went great for you And to anyone that is listening to Doug Franz Unplugged, that is a father overseas, and you are serving our country and you miss your family. Your family misses you too. And they wanted me to tell you, Happy Father's Day. And no, I don't know your family, but I guarantee you they wanted me to say that to you. God bless you and thank you for our freedom. Later on today is Monday. And if you don't know, every Monday at 1 o'clock, I join Steve and Izzy on 1580 The Fanatic. Looking forward to that. So if you get a chance, please do me a favor and listen at 1 o'clock to 1580 The Fanatic. Try to tell other people to listen. And I would love for more people to get to know me that way. And I can hopefully increase numbers as far as enlisted members to the Unplugged Army so I can continue to grow the podcast. That would mean a ton to me. So anything you can do to drum up attention on your social media accounts, I would love that. I really enjoy doing that. Steve is not a general in the Unplugged Army because I haven't seen him at any events, but he's the one that invited me onto his radio show. That took guts, you know? And he's just a listener to the podcast and thought, you know what? I always listen to the old show, and Doug probably needs some help, and maybe there's a way I could help. And he's absolutely right. He's helping a ton. So I really appreciate that. And then in turn, I would love to entice you to listen to 1580 The Fanatic on Mondays. And really, you know, almost anytime. But I really want to promote Mondays at 1 o'clock. So that's coming up. I'm saying later today, but I have no idea when you're listening. So that's kind of stupid, isn't it? I gotta fix that and change that and not say that. I got pretty good stuff. I had a lot of interviews last week and a lot of you responded positively to that. So I'll try to do a few more interviews. I have one scheduled for this afternoon that I'll air for tomorrow's show. That'll probably surprise you. I'll leave you in suspense for right now, but make sure you tweet me tomorrow and tell me what you think of tomorrow's interview, because I hope it'll be pretty cool. I'm really looking forward to it, especially with a Father's Day tie-in. All right, let's get to it. Time for your 4-minute offense. It's up next on Doug Franz Unplugged. Call 602-899-7000 and discuss the possibility of you refinancing your home and using the equity in your home to get yourself out of credit card debt. I know you might be saying to yourself, Doug, interest rates are crazy right now. Well, here's one thing that you have no idea about. You have no idea when's the next time interest rates are going to be that low ever again as they were a couple years ago. I mean, it might be 6-7 years before they're that low again. You can't sit around and wait and hope they get low and then be paying 15, 20, 25% interest on your credit cards. You got to wipe that debt out now. Listen, you might be at the peak of the housing market. There might not be a time in your life where your house is worth more than it is right now. Cash in that equity, get out of those high interest credit cards, and don't worry, with Ideal Home Loans 6 months after you've closed your loan, if interest rates drop 0.5 percentage point, they'll contact you and set you up with a new mortgage, and they waive the lender fees. Call 602-899-7000. That's 602-899-7000, or go to idealhomeloans.com.
Four-minute offense.
Everything you need to know in sports that affect Maricopa County, the state of Arizona, and the world, you get in 4 minutes. We start things off in downtown Phoenix. Happy Father's Day. The Diamondbacks actually take 2 out of 3 from a team in first place. Diamondbacks beat the Twins 7-2 on Friday, lose 11-1 Saturday, and come back and win the series 7-1 yesterday on Father's Day. It seems like pitcher Merrill Kelly has righted the ship.
Started with Merrill Kelly, 7 unbelievable innings.
Kelly only gave up 1 earned run, and that was on a first inning double play ball. But Kelly was not the story of the game. After going 1-for-3 in his rookie debut on Saturday, new Diamondbacks infielder Buddy Kennedy stepped to the plate in the 6th inning on Sunday with the bases loaded.
3-0 swing, fly ball, Buddy Kennedy, a grand slam!
The world was shocked Torrey Lovello would give a rookie the green light to swing 3-0 until the postgame show when we found out he didn't.
Buddy did not hit, have the green light. He hit through. He hit through a take.
Well, it worked out, and it still gave us this amazing moment with his father on the field.
I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
Keep grinding, my man.
I will. Absolutely.
We always love you.
I love you.
Diamondbacks are now 4 games under .500. They take on the Padres tonight at 6:40. The Padres are just coming back from Colorado, where they were swept in a 3-game series and lost Manny Machado to a sprained ankle. Zach Davies goes tonight for the Diamondbacks. One of the best pitchers in the game, Yu Darvish, throws for San Diego. Locally, we had one winner and two losers over the weekend. Rattlers beat Duke City 58-38 to clinch a playoff spot. Kyrie Woods and Dylan Winfrey both had interception return for touchdowns. And Drew Powell went 7 of 10 for 82 yards. He also rushed for 2 touchdowns. That improves the Rattlers' record to 10-3. They take on Tucson at home Saturday at 6 o'clock. Rising and Mercury both ended up on the short end of the stick. Friday night, the Mercury lost 93-88 to drop their record to 6-10 on the year, despite Tina Charles going for 27-9. Next up, the Mercury take on Minnesota at home Tuesday night and Minnesota on the road Thursday night. The Rising lost a wild one in Virginia 4-3 to Loudoun County. The Rising were down 4-1 late and got an own goal at the 90-minute mark, and then Quinn scored his second of the night in stoppage time. But it wasn't enough as Rising lose 4-3. Next up for them is a road trip to Las Vegas, Friday, kickoff at 7:30. It's a huge game because the Rising have 21 points on the season. That's not good enough for the playoffs, but Vegas is in a tie for the playoffs with only one more point than the Rising. Golf, the third major of the year, came within an inch of a playoff. But when Will Zalatoris barely missed his putt on the 72nd hole of the U.S. Open, Matthew Fitzpatrick became your winner.
Unbelievable. Yeah, it the feeling's out of this world. It's so cliche, but it's stuff you dream of as a kid. And yeah, to achieve it, I can retire a happy man tomorrow.
Will Zalatoris has now finished in second place in 3 of the last 7 majors.
It stings, obviously. Obviously, to have 3 runner-ups so far in my career in majors, but you know, keep knocking on that door.
Fitzpatrick put his drive on 18 in the bunker with only a one-shot lead, then hit a 160-yard 9-iron, barely avoiding the lip from the island of fescue grass in the middle of the bunker, setting himself up for a 2-putt for the championship.
Yeah, it's one of the best shots I've ever hit. There's no doubt about it.
Runner-up Will Zalatoris was asked, what's it like to deal with the anxiety and the pressure for that last round?
Yeah, I don't have kids yet, or I don't have a pregnant wife yet, so I'm assuming that's probably got to be the closest thing.
Man, I really liked both of those kids, watching them compete, Matthew Fitzpatrick and Will Zalatoris. I'll get into the U.S. Open in a little bit, but that was fantastic. I don't know what it's like to be a soon-to-be father. That's probably more pressure. You talk about wherewithal. There's no way I would be thinking about that moment, trying to compare the two. If somebody asked me, what was more pressure? Or describe what it's like to go through this pressure. And you're an unmarried dude and you're already planning ahead or thinking ahead to your pregnant wife that you don't have yet. That's pretty brilliant on Will Zalatoris' part. Sound credits. The credit for all of the U.S. Open sound comes from YouTube and the USGA website that's got the press conferences on it. That's where I got the sound from Will Zalatoris and the Matthew Fitzpatrick sound. And then all of the Diamondback sound, Torrey Lovello, and especially that great interview with Buddy Kennedy and his dad, that's all from the Bally Sports app. Is where I got most of that stuff from. Some of it I got it from dbacks.com, but dbacks.com got it from Bally Sports Arizona. So, and I'll be playing some more sound from all of those events. So every piece of sound today that you hear is either from the USGA or is from Bally Sports Arizona. Let's start with the Diamondbacks. What a strange weekend of Diamondbacks baseball. Mad Bum, of course, gets shelled again, and yet the offense just buries the Twins and gets the Diamondbacks out of a mess. So the Diamondbacks win game one of the series 7-2 with Jordan Luplow having two home runs, and they're able to overcome Mad Bum's rough beginning in which he gives up a run in the first and a run in the third. And I know that doesn't sound like much, but the catch was, it was as soon as the Diamondbacks did something, he would give up another run is what it felt like. So Mad Bum, I mean, they're going to try to tell you it was good because he went six innings and gave up two earned runs. Well, that's good for a number three, number four pitcher. And I guess that's all he is. But I don't like that for $17 million. Then they get destroyed 11-1 on Saturday, in which Luke Weaver was outstanding for two innings. I mean, for two innings, he was lights out. And then the Twins batted around in the third. So for two innings, I think he only faced seven batters. Gave up a hit and then went 1-2-3, 1-2-3. Then boom, the explosion happens with six runs in the third and another three runs in the fourth. Just terrible, which is really starting to scare you because remember, that's the Paul Goldschmidt trade. That's Luke Weaver and that's Carson Kelly. And Carson Kelly is batting, what, I think 198 right now, something like that. So you got to split on Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday, Merrill Kelly gives up only one run in the first, but he does give up a run in the first, double play ball with runners on first and third. He gave up a double, then he gave up a single. Runners on first and third, gets a double play. So the run scores. That's the only run he allows in the whole game. He was incredible. And what's really cool is it came off of all of his struggles with the walks and control. And it was just out of nowhere that he was so bad. And you're wondering what's going on. And it seems like he was able to get his groove back and be the ace stuff that he has developed over time. Here is Torey Lovello with his opening statement about the Diamondbacks 7-1 win yesterday.
First of all, I just want to say happy Father's Day to everybody in here. Also, happy Father's Day to all the parents out there, all the fathers out there, and across the valley and in the entire state. So today was a good day. Today was a good day where we executed at a very high level in a lot of different areas. Started with Merrill Kelly, seven unbelievable innings. I was actually thinking about sending him back out there for the eighth. Couple of tough batters in the seventh, drove up his pitch count, but he was in total control and total command of this ballgame. It didn't seem like it got away from him for the entire seven innings. Offensively, we built innings, and obviously had the huge grand slam by Buddy, a great moment for him and his family. I know they're out there celebrating together right now. Those are special things in this game, especially happening on Father's Day. I'm sure it'll be something they never forget. But you know, we built in, he built up the count. He ended up getting a pitch. He gets some extension on, and it broke the game open. It was a great moment. But Christian Walker with two home runs, Payton with a long home run. Those are the things that put us in a position to build that inning. Played solid defense, couple great picks by Pay. It was just a really, really good effort all the way around by this ball club.
Okay, don't let me gloss over what he just said. Two picks by Pave. Oh, my. One throw by Perdomo and another throw by Rojas, which were not good. And as a first baseman, granted, I'm talking to you about being a high school varsity first baseman, so it was 30 years ago, but if you short hop it, meaning you throw it so the bounce comes really close to the base, it's not really that hard. You just stick your glove kind of right there where it's bouncing because it has nowhere else to go but in your glove. And if you bounce it from kind of far away, it's easy to anticipate the bounce, see the bounce, and be able to get it. Well, that's not where the bounce was on either of those. They weren't short hops or long hops. They were bounces right in the middle of nowhere in which it's almost impossible that you just kind of have to go by feel. And Pave and Smith had, they were nasty hops. And he was outstanding at picking those things. So that looked good. And then especially with Christian Walker being the DH, you still had his stick in the lineup. And yet Pavin Smith was playing good defense, which has to be tough when he hasn't been playing a lot of first base lately, even though that was his position to start with. So storyline number one, Merrill Kelly. And of course, Manaply came in, who's just been fire. And Ramirez came in, okay, got a runner on base, but then Kennedy shut it down, and we were fine. That's not what's the most amazing thing of this game. Bottom of the sixth inning, bases are loaded. I know you heard it in the four-minute offense, but it's just so cool.
3-0 swing, fly ball, Buddy Kennedy, a grand slam!
It just became a huge deal that this kid you just called up, he goes 1-for-3 on Saturday, gets his first major league hit, and now you're letting him swing 3-0. I sat there. I'm still speechless about it. The feelings I had at the moment that I saw it. It just makes no sense. I mean, you could actually upset a lot of people doing that. Here's why. The entire opposition, even though you're not going to see the Minnesota Twins ever, but the entire opposition would be irate that a rookie is swinging 3-0. And even players on your own team are going to be upset because they'll be thinking, you wouldn't let me swing 3-0. So why are you doing it with him? Now, this is where baseball's unwritten rules come in. And you've probably heard about this before. And this is where people get plunked. And I was shocked that the Twins didn't plunk anybody. It might be the truth that the unwritten rules are starting to be either A, written out or not followed anymore. In a time just 20 years ago, if a rookie swings 3-0 and hits a grand slam, the next batter's getting plunked. Now, in the new age of baseball, people think that's absolutely ridiculous. Why should the next guy get hit? What does he have to do with it? That's kind of the line of thinking for some people. The next batter would have been Pavin Smith. Why are you hitting Pavin Smith? It's not Pavin Smith's fault. You get the guy out that you wanted to get out. No, it's the rule of being the unwritten rule. It's a rookie should not be swinging 3-0 ever. So when a rookie's swinging, you're mocking us by allowing a rookie to swing 3-0. So we're going to throw at the next guy. Now, you never throw at a guy's head, ever, ever, ever. But that's how you kind of enforce rules. That's how you say you're not going to come at us like that. You're going to respect us as your opponent. That's how baseball rules used to be enforced. Now, you might think that that's ridiculous. I mean, it might really anger you that that's the old school way to play baseball. And you might be thrilled that the Twins didn't hit Pavin Smith. You might be happy with it. I like the old school rules. I think that's the way to play the game. And a rookie should not be swinging 3-0. And then a rookie learns not to swing 3-0 when the next guy gets plunked. Now, here's what I didn't know. Very first question asked of Torey Lovello after the game. Shed a light on this subject matter that I don't think anybody either A, knew about, or B, I was shocked Torey Lovello was this open and honest about it. I greatly appreciated what he said.
Buddy did not have the green light. He hit through a take. So I haven't yet talked to him, but you better hit a grand slam if you're going to swing away on it. Actually, it's not what we do here. We do it right, and we'll talk to him about that. But it was a great moment for him. We're going to celebrate that. He thought it was 2-0. He kind of lost track of the count. And, in fact, he didn't even look down at Tony in that situation. But it's part of the game, so it's a great learning moment for him and all of us to serve a reminder to the guys. But it worked out well. So all's well that ends well in the situation, but that's not what we necessarily do here. But I'm really proud of him. I'm still very happy for him, and it was a key hit, and he broke the game open. But we'll address that. We'll address it with the entire team. We're not going to single him out. I'll make sure I address it with the group tomorrow. Let's check in on the count, check in on the signs, and make sure we're doing it right.
How interesting is that? This is where, you know, sorry I'm kind of stumbling. I'm trying to think of how to put this or how to phrase it. I think Torrey would be a much better manager if he was harder. And I mean harder on the guys. I think since the time he has been here, he's a good baseball man. I just believe he's allowed people to either A, walk over him, or B, he's cared too much about what people think in the clubhouse instead of just winning. If you win, they're forced to respect you. And he has always, in my opinion, cared too much about other people's feelings. I'm saying that to you because this is an area where this becomes a Torrey Lovello strength. And people like me are just wrong when we're critical. I need to admit to you when I'm wrong. His ability to say something like that, that I'm not even going to talk to the rookie about a mistake. I mean, normally you drop the hammer on a rookie. And he goes, no, this is a great moment for him and his family. I'm even correcting him in front of the media before I go to him. Now, he doesn't say that, but he's just being honest because the question was asked. Very first question. Did you give a rookie a green light 3-0? Because that's just, it's almost sacrilegious in the game. And Torrey Lovello wanted to be honest and answer the question. And then it's supposedly going to be today at some point in San Diego or maybe on the team plane last night where you have that conversation with the team. Probably in the clubhouse later today, he's going to have that conversation. And I bet you that Buddy Kennedy by then will probably have read something about what Torrey Lovello said to the media. But it's an interesting way to handle it. And I kind of support Torrey Lovello on this one. Normally I don't when he's nice. You know, I want him to drop the hammer more. But this is a pretty good way to learn a lesson. Let's learn a lesson after we hit grand slams, okay? I like that. All props to, I almost said props to Arizona, presented by Betfred Sports, but that's not what I'm talking about right now. All props go to Bally Sports Arizona for the conversation that they set up post-game. Here's it, most of it in its entirety, and just how fantastic it was to hear Buddy Kennedy with his dad on Father's Day post-Grand Slam.
Yeah, from starting from spring training and, grinding, going to AAA and then, you know, doing what I had to do there and then getting the call here. And then, ironically, you know, it's on Father's Day. You know, it's something special for me, for him, my family as well. Just enjoying the moment, you know. Everything's happened for a reason. Just super happy and very blessed about everything. I was looking in the hole and I was like, oh, okay, let's see how it all things out. And then, walk struck out, so I was like, okay, you know, let's see what happens. And then, David Peralta got up and took some good pitches, and I was like, and then after that third, fourth ball, I was like, oh, okay,
yeah,
just relax. You know, I know it's the biggest probably moment of your life. Just you know, take it all in, enjoy it. And, you know, still do my job, try to help the team score runs, and just try to live in the moment and enjoy it. I honestly didn't even hear anything. I was just so, you know, struck by everything that happened, and then all the guys coming in, they're like, dude, they were literally chanting, buddy, buddy, buddy. I was like, oh, that's awesome, man. And I was like, you know, just happy to be here, happy to help the team win, do everything I can to, you know, put a W at the end of the day, and just enjoy it and let's have fun with it.
You know, all the time that you were on your baseball field and you sacrificed, all your friends were on the beach and everything, mm-hmm. and you're all over the country playing baseball, and this is where it got you today. And I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
Keep grinding, my man.
I will. Absolutely.
We always love you.
I love you.
You hit a grand slam on Father's Day in your second major league game. And on the field, your father in an interview says, I'm proud of you. Oh, come on. Come on. It is a weird relationship. To me, it's a weird relationship to have a dad say, my man. Keep grinding, my man. Okay, there will never be a day where my dad says, my man. And of course, I'm not saying that to my daughters, but that was cool. That was really cool. Great job. Free plug for Bally Sports Arizona because of how cool that moment was and to have those two together for that interview. So again, it was not an actual green light. And according to Torrey Lovello, he was thinking it was 2-0. Although it didn't quite sound like it right there in that account, the way Buddy Morris was Buddy Morris, that's the strength and conditioning coach of the Cardinals, the way Buddy Kennedy was talking. But I got to tell you, watching that game, if you were at that game, you were incredible. That was a real life baseball crowd. Not only a ton of people, but just really into the game. Understanding that's a rookie that hit a grand slam and continue the screaming and to be able to get a curtain call. And man, it's not very often where we get like good baseball crowds. I don't just mean a lot of people. I mean, people that really know the game. I got to tell you, I was jacked up watching that game. Jacked up listening to the fans cheer at different moments in that game. That was great to watch. Tonight, taking on the Padres, if you didn't see it, bad sprain of the ankle for Manny Machado. They swept somebody. I can't remember who it was. I think the Padres swept the Cubs. Maybe it was somebody else. But they went to Colorado and got swept by the Rockies. So now they're on a three-game losing streak, and Manny Machado slid across first base, and then the spikes caught on the other side of first base. X-rays are negative, but I don't see any way he's playing tonight after how bad that sprain looked. And for the Diamondbacks, it'll be Zach Davies, who was pretty below average at the beginning of the year, and he has been fire lately. Zach Davies has been outstanding. So he's going. The problem is Yu Darvish is going. Let me cheat. He's got like a 108 whip. What is it? I was off. 0.97 whip. That's walks plus hits divided by innings pitched. So it basically means how often do you let a runner on base during an inning? And Yu Darvish allows less than one runner an inning on base right now. That's how well he's playing or pitching. So for an offense that is kind of feast or famine, this is one of those famine days if they don't get off to a good start or at least make Darvish work to try to get into the bullpen, not just for today, but to get into the bullpen for later in the series. Like there was Christian Walker had a nice weekend. He had two home runs yesterday, so you know he did well. But he had an at-bat Saturday that just, gosh, it still makes me mad. Bundy went 7 or 8 innings and only gave up a run. And yet it's, I think, bottom of the seventh. And Christian Walker comes up swinging at the first pitch. You're down. They're down like 9-1. 9-0. I forget what it was. They're down an obnoxious amount. And he's swinging at the first pitch. And the reason why that's so stupid is even though you have about a 2% chance of winning that game Saturday, you increase your chances of winning Sunday if you get into their bullpen. Make their bullpen pitch Saturday in a loss. And the only way you do that is by taking pitches and getting the starting pitcher out of there. Did it work out? Yes, it did work out. But it's just not good baseball. And for a team that's not good, you can still make good baseball decisions. And I realize I'm ripping a guy for his performance on Saturday when the entire team got shelled and this one player had 2 home runs and went 2 for 4 yesterday. I get it, but it, just because it worked doesn't make it a good baseball play. And this team needs more good baseball plays. Again, 6:40 tonight against the Padres in San Diego. Coming up next, I think golf is in a fantastic spot. The question is, can they stay there? It's next on Doug Franz Unplugged. Before I get into golf, I want to read a tweet I received. Braxton tweeted me and asked a question. He says, first of all, happy Father's Day. But Doug, I was at a friend's to watch the Rising game. Anyone that cared about the game is calling for Shantz to go by firing or resigning. I am not sure either way. It would be great to hear you talk about that for a short segment. Thanks. Have a good Sunday. Well, thanks for caring about my opinion, number one. Number two, before I give you my opinion, I want to give you a frame of reference. I'm a very educated soccer person, but I've probably seen five Rising games this year. Okay? So you're going to hear an opinion based on someone that's seen, or based from someone that's seen five Rising games. So if you and your group of friends have seen a lot more than five, then I don't know how bad it might have been. Okay? But they're 7-0-8 right now. And for those of you that aren't hardcore soccer fans, it's weird. Your record in soccer is not win-lose, tie, like it is in American football. Okay? In European football, it goes wins, ties, losses. So when I say they're 7-0-8, we would normally say that is just 7-8. They've won 7, they've lost 8. Well, I wouldn't even remotely consider firing Rick Shantz at all. And I full well understand how poorly they've played this year. But here's why I wouldn't fire him. If there's no such thing as coronavirus, or at least COVID-19, then this team has one and possibly two USL championships. So would you really fire a guy who's struggling a little bit right now if he's got two championships? What if he's got one championship? Obviously, you can argue, well, Doug, he doesn't have any, does he? Well, no, but he would have. So wouldn't that give him a little bit of a reprieve from a bad season? Number two, the injuries have been just decimating to this team this year. Now, granted, it's the team that's telling me that. I don't know enough to say, here's their regular lineup. It's so different for me when I'm talking about baseball or American football or basketball, because I'm not trying to say look at me, but I've got sources within the league. I've got my own opinions because I've seen a kid play college basketball or college football. I know who I think is good and who I don't think is good. And then when people perform well or not well on the field, I can say, well, I already knew that, or no, I didn't, okay? And then I can relate that opinion. I can take other people's opinion. See what I mean? There's a lot of things that would go into an opinion for me to say fire Cliff Kingsbury. A lot that I would put into opinion that says Monty Williams can't keep this team together and it's time to let him go. You know, any opinion I give you about the Diamondbacks, the Cardinals, or the Suns, man, I'm not trying to be an arrogant jerk. It's just I'm really well-versed into not only the sport, but kind of the inside of what's going on to kind of be able to answer that question better. When it comes to the Rising, I can only go by, in a sense, what I'm seeing in the five games and what the Rising have told me. So that's probably a bad thing to say I'm talking to the Rising and then I'm turning around and saying, don't fire Rick Shantz. But they're telling me how injured they are. I don't know who's hurt or who would be great if they were healthy. But when I hear those things, where I look at that as a franchise that has done much better in the past because of Rick Shantz, and I know how fans just say, oh, one bad year, let's dump a guy. Like, here, for an example, I believe the number for the Rattlers is 7 of the last 10 years they've been in the championship game. Like, name a team at any level that can say something like that. And I'll never forget walking out of the arena. I believe it was last year. It might have been 2 years ago. I can't remember. And this one fan looks at another fan and says, it's time to fire the coach. I mean, I'm sitting there. I bit my tongue. I didn't say anything because what am I going to be able to do about it, you know? But I just wanted to punch the guy in the face. I admit it. Now, granted, I'm biased. Kevin Guy is my friend. But it was just, I don't want stupid fans either, you know? That was so dumb to think because the other team made a field goal and your kicker didn't at the end of a game when you were at the time 16-17-0 or whatever it was. And you think you should fire the head coach. That's just plain stupidity. And I think of there are certain fans that are like that. I'm not knowledgeable enough when it comes to the Rising to tell you you've got a group of fans that are like that. I don't. But I don't think Rick Shawn should be fired because of his past success. And this so far is one average year. That's all that's happened. He's having an average year with injured talent. So no, I wouldn't. All right, let me get to golf because I am just fascinated by what happened. This, if you're not a big golf fan, then I don't think it might have mattered to you. But if you watched the U.S. Open this weekend and it didn't grab your soul from a sports standpoint, I'm not ripping you when I say this, you'll probably never be somebody that really watches golf. It was incredible television. And what I loved about it is it was nobody as of right now on the LIV Golf Tour that was a part of it. Now, I did read there were a lot of rumors that the next defector will be Hideki Matsuyama. And I just read that in two different articles of somebody else saying it's a rumor. So please understand, this is totally terrible journalism by me. I read it in one guy's article, read it in another guy's article, and then regurgitate it to you and act like it's news. I'm not acting like it's news. I'm just telling you what I read. But I don't want that to happen. I want the PGA Tour to have as many great golfers on it as possible. And that event just shows how great the game of golf is right now. How great it is that the guys that are in it at that age is not something to be trifled with. And I hope that they stay in the PGA Tour and they don't wander. Let me see if I can talk you into loving golf just by hearing what Matthew Fitzpatrick had to say. He was asked about his demeanor because a member of the media said, "We know you to be self-deprecating all the time. We know you to be a really humble guy. So how do you stay as humble as you are, but get the necessary arrogance and ego it takes to be able to beat other great athletes?" I thought that was a really interesting question. Listen to how fantastic this answer is, especially on Father's Day when he won yesterday.
I mean, my parents, you know, I wouldn't be here without them. They did such an amazing job with me, and that was the thing they always taught me, to be humble and to be down to earth. And if they're not bringing me back down to earth, my friends are. And that's, you know, that's always been me. It doesn't matter what we're doing, how well I'm playing. I'll leave here tonight and they'll give me abuse about something. I know they will. My friend's just nodding in the back there. But I don't know. I've always felt like I had it. I've always been competitive, and that comes from my dad as well. My dad was always competitive with us as juniors, and I just love winning. You know, I absolutely love winning, and I don't care who it is. Like, I just want to beat everyone. And although it doesn't come across and like, you know, as I don't show it much because I like to be quite reserved, yeah, I just love beating everyone. It's as simple as that. I mean, and anyone else on tour would say the same thing. You know, that's why the guys are the best, and that's why they play so well. It's just love winning.
Okay, tell me you're not a fan of Matthew Fitzpatrick. I want to beat everyone, but I'm quite reserved. My parents did a great job raising me. Oh my gosh. That's the future of the tour right there. Guys, don't go take the Saudi Arabian money. Come on. We had Colin Morikawa battling, had Rory in there. Matsuyama was in there, but it was mostly Zalatoris up against Fitzpatrick the whole time. And then what was crazy about this tournament is there was a tiny little par three, the par three 11th. And sometimes, depending on hole placement in this tournament, it was barely over a 100-yard hole. And it caused a couple massive meltdowns. It probably cost Scottie Scheffler the tournament. on Saturday. Not yesterday, but on Saturday. He probably lost the tournament on 11 on a little bitty 100-yard hole. It was fantastic. It was fantastic to see a hole that all of us have played at some point in our life. Obviously not there at the country club, but in our life, we have played some kind of par three with an elevated tee box that ends up being about a 110-yard shot. And yet some people lost the U.S. Open on it. Zalatoris did not play it well on Sunday. Scottie Scheffler did not play it well on Saturday. Just so interesting. And man, you hear these guys talk. Here's Will Zalatoris. Tell me you're not going to be a fan of this guy too. It was the most incredible shot. One of the most incredible shots you'll see in golf. What happened on 18. And I'll tell you, I got ready to throw it to Will Zalatoris sound, and then I realized I hadn't set it up. You've got a one-shot lead for Matt Fitzpatrick. He tees off and makes a bad tee shot, and it goes into a bunker on the left-hand side of the fairway. But this bunker has a big hump or kind of mini island in the bunker with unmowed fescue on top of it. So it's like a little fescue island. So the ball has settled in to the low part of the bunker, but it's right near the lip of the little fescue island that's all in the bunker, and there's a higher lip a few feet after. So this first lip forces you, if you're going to hit the ball, you can't hit it at the flag. Because if you try to aim at the flag, your ball will hit this lip. And hearing both guys talk about that shot, oh my gosh, do we have a lot to learn. I mean, this can, from two young guys, we can take a lot of motivation from this. I said Will Zalatoris. I'll start on this bunker shot by letting you hear Matthew Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, I'll be honest. One thing that I've been really struggling this year with is fairway bunker play. Had a good session at the USPJ with my coach. It kind of helped me a little bit, but still not 100% out of it. And then I kind of, one good thing is it the way the lie was, it forced me not to go towards the pin. It kind of forced me to go well left anyway. And if I hit it straight, it was kind of a chip across the green or whatever it was. But I just feel like, you know, I'm a fast player. And when I look back, it just all happened so fast. It was like just kind of natural ability took over and just played the shot that was at hand. If I was a junior trying to hit it close, and I didn't mean to do that, but I just committed to the shot. We kind of planned and came out a bit squeezy fade, and it was, it was amazing.
I don't care whether you're a golfer or not. Can you feel what he's saying? There have been times in my life where if I quote unquote had that shot, and I don't mean in golf, I mean in life, I would lament the fact that I can't go in the flag. I would sit there and be upset. Why is this hill there? And I would let that get to me, that the hill is there. And what he's saying is, it was good that the hill is there because it took that option away, and I just had to focus on here's what's presented. How many times do we look at a situation and wish the situation was different? Instead of looking at the situation and saying, here's what it is. I mean, no matter how bad you want it to be different, here's the situation. Now, what are you going to do with it? And then he talked about, because that was the situation, he didn't stop and think about it. Like, well, I just got to go up and I got to execute this shot. Just clear my head and do this. Man, have I been up and down on that in my life. There have been times I did exactly what Matthew Fitzpatrick's talking about. I didn't feel sorry for myself. I ignored the little island of fescue and said, this is the shot I've got, so this is the shot I got to take. And I crushed it, you know, and I nailed it. And there have been other times in my life where I stared at that fescue island and whined like crazy that shouldn't be in my way. and I missed the opportunity because I was too busy staring at the Fescue Island. You the same way? Matthew Fitzpatrick won the United States Open because he took the shot that was presented and didn't think about all the things that could go wrong with the shot. He only thought about what he needed to do to execute it. Unplugged Army, that is us from now on. What's the shot we've got? We have an opportunity to take and then take it. And not lamenting what opportunities we wished we could have taken if it wasn't for this obstacle or this person at work or this part of our past, whatever it is. That's who we are now. And you know what? If somebody with class makes that shot when we're kind of competing with them, all right. Let's just get stronger, but let's accept it. Here's Will Zalatoris about that shot that cost him the U.S. Open.
Matt's shot on 18 is going to be shown probably for the rest of U.S. Open history, because that I walked by it and I thought that going for it was going to be ballsy, but the fact that he pulled it off and even had a birdie look was just incredible.
He wasn't done showing the class. Somebody asked him, when you walked by and you saw that ball, you had to think you've really got a shot at tying this thing up. So you describe how hard of a shot that is. So again, this is still Will Zalatoris, the runner-up, talking about the shot that beat him.
He had to cut it around kind of an island of rough in the middle of that bunker. I don't know how far he had. I'd say roughly around 160, 170. So he's probably hitting a 7 or 6 iron and opening up and carving it off probably left edge of the green. And to get it to be just past pin high is just, like I said, the fact he had a look was just awesome. I mean, that's like I said, that's a shot that's going to be shown for, you know, when they show the highlights of future U.S. Opens, that's one that's going to be shown, because that was just incredible.
That's Will Zalatoris, now one of my favorite golfers for that level of class. He's made it as the runner-up in 3 of the last 7 majors. He's that close to being a winner. And he missed a putt on the 72nd hole by about a half an inch. If he makes it, there's a playoff. That's how close it was to a playoff. By the way, the last major we just had, Will Zalatoris lost in a playoff. And yet he's still standing there with the class to compliment everything done by Matthew Fitzpatrick, especially on that shot. Now, how raw and honest is Matthew Fitzpatrick? He was asked about a question he was asked about before. I know that sounds confusing. Earlier in the week, a member of the media asked him what he thinks it's like for past champions walking up the 72nd hole, competing for the championship. And then now that the event's over and he's the U.S. Open champion, that same member of the media asked him, do you now have a newfound respect for those people that have walked up the 72nd hole of a major before you with that pressure? And he said, yeah, absolutely. And then he'll drop a name, and the name he mentions is his caddy. Listen to what he says to his caddy, not on the 72nd hole, but on 15. And full disclosure, in case you have kids in the car, he drops an S-bomb, but it is kind of funny.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a long week. I said to Billy going up 14, I said, Billy, I hate this. This is horrible. You know, and up to that point, really, I'd not really missed many shots. And, you know, I can't tell you how happy I am it's over. But at the same time, I can't tell you how happy I am, how well I grinded out there and how well I played. It means so much.
When you said you turned and said you hate it, which part of it do you hate?
Everything. No, it's just like, you know, for me last night, you leave the golf course, I'm tied for the lead for the US Open. You then sit in there stewing with it the whole night, the whole evening, and I slept brilliant, but like, you just kind of relax in and you're still thinking about it, you're thinking about it, and you're just trying to tell yourself, just stop, just have a break, just stop thinking about it. It's not there yet. And but at the same time, you kind of want to go, you want to play it like straight away. And in the morning, I'm sat watching the golf and I'm like, oh, is it time to go yet? Is it time to go yet? And then the time comes and then it's like, oh shit, like, we're ready to go now. Like, I better start hitting some good shots and hopefully I hit some good shots. And it's just, there's just a lot of stuff going on. And I said it yesterday, it's, you know, I just don't think people realize how hard it is to win a major. There's only four of them a year, and it just takes something a bit extra.
Just the humbleness of our champions so far on the year. Like, the Masters champion Scottie Scheffler actually said, I woke up Sunday morning crying and I told my wife, I'm not ready for this. And she said, who are you to determine whether or not you're ready for this? Shouldn't you let God determine that? Shouldn't you just go play? And if you're ready for this, then God will know that. So you have that level of humbleness to actually admit to everybody that he's there crying Sunday morning. That was the Masters. Now here you go with Matthew Fitzpatrick, who's admitting that he told his caddy, I hate this. When we all look at guys in these pressure moments as being these studs, these rocks that don't feel any pressure. And he's talking about trying to go to sleep, and then he's talking about getting up, and he wants to just go, and he can't stand watching the golf because he wants to just play. He wants to get out there. And then when it's finally time to go, he's like, wait a minute, really? It's time to go? Oh, crap. And just all of these flood of emotions that he's going through. So raw and human. And yet he handled it. He handled it perfectly on Sunday. You may not believe this, but you're leading in life right now. You're ahead. I don't care what you're doing, you're ahead. Because you're an American, you live in the greatest country in the history of the world, and you're an enlisted member in the Unplugged Army. You're winning. So just like him, you know, you're winning. But it's okay to be a little nervous. It's okay to be a little scared, but go win anyway. I'm nervous. I'm scared. I'm pouring my entire heart and soul into Doug Franz Unplugged. I had an event on Friday in which I was able to convince six people this is a worthwhile endeavor. Please join me on it. Think about that. Think about that level of failure that I achieved. That stings. But I can't give up. It's not in my nature. I just have to do better. I just have to work harder. And then you hear these young guys, like Will Zalatoris, comparing his most recent loss in a major to this one.
You know, I think this one probably is going to take a little bit more processing than that one. You know, I like I said, I got no regrets. I thought I played great all week, you know, especially getting off to the start that I did today. It stings, obviously to have three runner-ups so far in my career in majors, but you know, keep knocking on that door. I mean, we're obviously doing the right things. I'd pay a lot of money for about an inch and a half, and I'd probably be a three-time major champion at this point. So, you know, we'll just keep doing what we're doing.
Keep the PGA Tour strong, baby. I like these young guys. We're going into a great stretch. Ignore the Kevin Nas of the world and the Phil Mickelsons of the world and the Dustin Johnsons. Hideki Matsuyama, don't do it. Don't do it. Let the Patrick Reeds of the world go. We don't need them. Coming up next. Didn't do all that bad in versus Vegas, but not great. It's coming up on Doug Franz Unplugged. It's time for
Versus Bayo.
There will be no dancing. I didn't do bad, but there's still no dancing. What really stinks is I got the first three games right on Friday. Then I missed three in a row, and then I got a fourth one right. Oh, boy, I wanted a lot more. I thought I was going to crush it yesterday. Well, I should say Friday. I had almost every game Friday, and then I had one game Saturday. Here you go. The rundown of my success and failures. I had Kansas City and Oakland under 6.5. That game came in. Kansas City won 5-1. I got that one. I had Philadelphia and Washington over 10.5 runs. Philly won 8-7. I had Cincinnati plus 1.5 over Milwaukee. Milwaukee won 5-4, so Milwaukee didn't cover. I win. I had you tell me if I got this one right. This is close. I had Detroit plus 1.5 against the Texas Rangers. The Rangers won 7-0. 7-0. Oh, my gosh. I had Minnesota minus 1.5 against our Diamondbacks because it was Mad Bum on the mound. Mad Bum tried to blow it. And the D-backs just crushed Minnesota Friday 7-2. So I got that one wrong. I had the Dodgers on the run line covering against the Guardians. And Cleveland won that one 2-1. So I'm 3-3, 3-3 going into Saturday. And I picked the Avalanche to cover the puck line against Tampa Bay. They slaughtered them. Beat them 7-0. So I'll take that. So I went 4-3. That ups the record to 344 and 287. 344 and 287. Now, here's my picks today. And I got to tell you, I like them. I like them a lot. I got Cubs and Pittsburgh over 8.5. Both of them are throwing two of their worst pitchers, including the Pirates' JT Brubaker, who I've made a ton of money on because he's just bad. I got Yankees and Tampa Bay under 6.5 because they got two great pitchers going. I got San Francisco and Atlanta under 8.5 because they've got two average pitchers going, and 8.5 just seems high. So I'm going to take the under. I got the Angels covering the run line against the Royals at home. And I've got Colorado, Tampa Bay tonight, Stanley Cup, going over 5.5 goals. So basically, it's one team I'm picking, Angels to cover on the run line at home against the Royals. I got two overs, two unders. Cubs, Pittsburgh, Avalanche, and Lightning over. Rays, Yankees, Giants, Braves under. And there you go. Don't forget today, I'm live at 1 o'clock on 1580 The Fanatic. I'll be on the main event. That show's from noon to 2. I'm a part of it at 1 o'clock. Please do me a favor and listen. It would mean a lot to me, and it helps grow Doug Franz Unplugged and Props Arizona presented by Betfred Sports whenever you watch or get somebody else to tune in. If you're getting something to eat today, try to figure out a way to go to lunch at Bell's Nashville Kitchen, Rosati's on Ray and McQueen, or Burrito Express. It's hot. Need anything for your air conditioning? 602-2-REPAIR. Go to Parker & Sons Heating, Cooling, Plumbing and Electrical. And I've already talked to you about interest rates. I know they're high, but they're worse on your credit cards. Just give a call to Ideal Home Loans. Just talk to them. If you don't like the process, then get out. You're fine. No obligation. 602-899-7000. And if you want to be a podcaster like me, contact Yoda at Fushaw Media. Just tweet me and I'll tell you how to do it. Sorry the podcast is so late today. I had so much to do and I spent all day Saturday with my family and I didn't get enough work done over the weekend, so I had to cram it all into yesterday. and that pushed into this morning, and now it's 6:54, and I still have to edit the thing. So I'm running way late. I apologize for that. I'll do better tomorrow. I'll see you then.